Hey, I want to share something with you too here, and I've been trying to get Susan on for a little while. She wrote an article, like, I believe in the power of the mass have a profound impact on those who've died. And I want to thank everyone who sent me masses when my mother passed away. And, you know, I have often, ever since I was a young man, had masses offered for the souls in purgatory. You might be familiar with the Gregorian masses that Susan often talks about for loved ones who have passed away, that series of masses that are said. Have you ever thought about having one said for yourself? You ever thought about that? You know, St. Faustina, in her diary, she once wrote, she talked about, and I love this, she talked about the value of Mass and how it can lead us to a more fervent celebration every time that we attend it. And she says, such awesome mysteries take place during the Mass. It's a great mystery that's accomplished in that celebration. She says, what a great devotion should we listen to and take part in the death of Jesus. She says, one day we will know what God is doing for each of us in the Mass and what sort of gift He's preparing for you in it. Only his divine love, she says, could permit such a gift. She says, oh, my Jesus, what great pain my soul is pierced when I see the fountain of life gushing forth with such sweetness and power for souls, while at the same time I see souls withering away, drying up through their own fault. Grant them the power to embrace, Lord, she says, please grant the power of mercy and embrace these souls. And she saw during Mass Jesus nailed upon a cross in the midst of all these torments, and a soft moan came from his heart. And after some time, he uttered the words, I thirst for the salvation of souls. Help me, my daughter. Help me to save souls. And after Mass, she had an encounter with the Lord as well. And she was given this example another time where she was able to see how many souls were saved as a result of the Masses that were offered. So if you got a wayward son or daughter that's away from the faith, you got somebody in need of conversion, you're concerned about the country, maybe the leadership, have Masses offered for those in power, in office, offered for Joe Biden, offered for Donald Trump, offered for that drug-addicted kid. Offer it for those souls who are most in need of God's mercy. There's nothing more powerful. There's a great doctor of the church named St. Anselm. He declared that a single Mass that was offered for souls, for oneself, actually. I don't often have Masses set for myself, but I really should. And that's what I want to talk about. This is what Susan wants to talk about. They say that Mass offered for yourself on this side of the veil could be worth more than 1,000 celebrated for you with the same intention after your death. St. Leonard of Port Maurice, he said the same thing. He said, one Mass before your death may be more profitable than many after. So I thought, look, let's talk about this. You may not be going back to Mass because of COVID. Maybe you've fallen away from church altogether. Maybe you don't understand the true power of what takes place. It's the source and summit of our faith. I've invited Susan Tassone, best-selling author, to join me today to give us some perspective on this. And it's great to have you back, Susan. Thank you for your time.
Oh, it's great to be back. You always seem to hit the right notes when we get on, Drew, because you sit here, you wring your hands. I'm in the heart of the riots were here down my street, up the street, out my window. And you sit and wonder what can I do? And it doesn't sound like it's a strong plan, but it was the plan of Fatima, Bonneau, Borang, Lourdes, Guadalupe, what was it? Pray. And what did she do when she came down for these approved apparitions? What did she have on her arm? She had the rosary. And alongside the Mass, the rosary is the most powerful prayer, Marian prayer, there is. And the Mass is the highest act of worship, the highest form of, quote, prayer. So, you know, I think Father Apostle was telling me people scoffed at Our Lady's, quote, peace plan, and what was the plan? Say the rosary, go to Mass. It's all about prayer. And even with Faustina, you mentioned Faustina. Jesus says to her, persevere in prayer. Don't grow weary. Pray for your conversion and everyone else's conversion and don't give up. He said, don't be discouraged. And he said many times, if you don't persevere in prayer, we'll frustrate what the Lord wanted to do through us or within us. And that's what Faustina, those are Faustina's words. And she says to be patient and cope bravely, but remember these words, she said, and in being in anguish, he prayed even longer. So she always prolonged her prayer as much as she could in her power. And in fact, Mother Angelica, when she was building her network, for every hour that she was on TV, she did another hour of adoration. And it doesn't sound like it's the, you know, it wasn't, you know, yeah. It didn't come out of a task force or a meeting. It came from the mouth of Our Lady. Pick up the rosary and pray. Go to Mass and offer your Mass and have Masses offered, which is why we, you know, we're talking today. When I was working for the missions office, because a lot of the missionaries didn't have Mass stipends, so my job was to help increase the Mass stipends for them in third world countries because people were too poor to give them a stipend. So they would give them chicken, peas, and potatoes from their harvest as a stipend, for a Mass. And what does that stipend do? It buys their books, if they're advancing their studies. It buys books for seminarians. It buys bread and wine for the Eucharist. So it's all connected. So one of the common questions I got was, you know, which is more powerful, a Mass celebrated, you know, while you're alive or after your death? And I often wondered about that. So I actually, you know, wrote to Father Ed McNamara. He's a professor of liturgy at the Regina Apostolorum University in Rome. And I said to him, not knowing he would answer, but he did. It took about 3 months, but I wasn't even expecting an answer. I said, which is more powerful? He wrote such an exquisite response that I took it, and we have the response in one of my books, Praying with the Saints for the Holy Souls, and we just put the whole thing in the book, and something touched me. I don't know what it was, Drew. I thought, I've got to take that letter out and get it out to people. And so this is what he said. He said, first of all, the Mass is infinite. And he said, not one Mass is more powerful than another. He said, if there's any difference, it's the effect that it has on the person for whom the Mass is being offered. Number two, in case of the deceased in purgatory, that benefit, he said, is a passive, the soul is receiving it passively, meaning they can't merit, but the Mass is capable of decreasing their time in purgatory. That soul is saved. They can't increase their sanctity. That Mass only helps to purify their imperfections. But with a living person who's still capable of growing in sanctifying grace, that Mass can have an effect of increase grace, so the person could be, you know, become more Christ-like. So if you do a Mass offered, let's say, for a person who's in mortal sin, will that help? Yeah. Yes, it will, because that Mass is going to be able to give that soul the grace it needs to respond. However, that person really has to respond. They still have a free will, and they have to accept that grace. So it's very important to have Masses offered for people that, you know, haven't been to church, or that I don't want to judge anybody, but that you feel need that.
I agree. I mean, I take a look at these protesters, these people who are, you know, destroying and injuring and burning and looting. They're in need of conversion. I'm all about, you know, peaceful protest. I'm all about making sure that, you know, justice is upheld. We have a right to do it. I'm against the intrinsic evil of racism. But maybe we should have Masses offered for our leadership. Maybe we should have Masses offered for those who persecute us.
For those that are rioting, because, you know, I mean, it's some of the things that are happening, they're not making any sense, okay? Like you said, Martin, Dr. King wouldn't have done it this way. I'm here. I'm in the heart of Chicago, and it looks like a war zone. In fact, what I did, Drew, is I went up and down the street, you know, after it was safe to go out my door, and I just sprinkled holy water every single corner for a mile, up, one way and down the other. We had National Guard. They took the holy water, threw it on their Humvees. I gave them miraculous medals. These sacramentals are very powerful.
Yes,
but
they are.
As we were saying, you know, get masses offered for them because it says it gives them the grace, you know, but they have to freely accept the grace. But it's offered, okay? And so so the bottom line is the mass for the living is more powerful than the mass for the dead. It really lies in regarding the increase in sanctity while you're alive. So if you're alive, the offering of the mass assists in the increase of sanctity by helping people either face their sufferings or their trials, helping you to become holy. So that's the difference. So it's one is passive, helping the souls. It helps them, you know, with their. The other is giving that person that grace.
I love it.
Susan,
let me do this. Let me open the phones. If you want to join us here, too, because I know you have for another 10 minutes or so, if you want to get into the conversation, share your views, your comments, ask your questions, the number's 888-914-9149. We'll grab a quick call. Christine is listening in Chicago as well. Christine, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I wanted to call and make sure that I thank you very much for your comment about the Kenosha violence going on there. When you said that it is not a peaceful
protest.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
Protest or march?
What I wrote here. I've got to wake up here. Okay, that was definitely not a peaceful protest. That was definitely, as you named it, domestic violence. And I think that is something that should be repeated a lot on our regular news because that's got nothing to do with peacefulness.
No, I agree. I call it domestic terrorism because in some respects that's what it is. When you terrorize shop owners, when you terrorize innocent civilians eating their dinner, when you burn and destroy buildings, I don't care whether you burn it with a Molotov cocktail or you drive a plane into it. That to me is an act of terrorism. It is not protest. When you are breaking into Christian Dior and looting, robbing Rolexes, you know, that is not about protest. That's larceny. That's theft. You know, and we're seeing arson. And okay, I get frustrated by Susan. You know, that's why I know we need to pray. That's what I have to do.
See, that's
when my blood boils like this. It's like,
yes, exactly.
The mass is the most efficacious, powerful thing we could use.
Yes,
especially in the situation.
Exactly. So the church does recommend having masses offered both for the living and the deceased. Now, so the simple lesson is pray for the living now. Pray for you. Pray for their eternity. It helps you and it helps themselves. And especially during this time, we need to have a mass for yourself, especially for the grace of a happy death for your family. It also translates into the source of actual grace, Drew. It urges a soul to repentance. It leads an individual to a more fervent prayer life. It helps a person persevere, like you and I, against the evils that we're seeing and against the dangers in the world. It helps us to grow in the ability, in the love of God and of neighbor, okay? So the way is open for us to make progress in virtue, you know, to acquire this merit, all by having masses offered while we're still alive. So that's really important. And of course, talked about Gregorian masses, those you put in your will. But right now, this is a real means of assuring yourselves the grace of a happy death if we don't put any obstacle in the way. So have a mass offered from time to time for the intention of your own sanctification, for the perseverance and grace. And don't forget to tend to your loved ones. Have masses offered for your families, for the grace of their death, and offer them now. And this is what really probably triggered me to bring this back out of my work, is offer masses now, because you don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next.
You don't know
the
day or the hour.
Mass. Well, yeah, we were out the mass and the sacraments for 88 days, okay? Oh. We've learned how to stock up our food pantries, but are we preparing our souls for the spiritual nourishment? So birthday, anniversary, holy day, holiday, ask for a mass or enroll yourself in you know, there's mass enrollments, miraculous medal, the Marians, you know, do it now. I have in some time, I don't know about you, but our rectory's closed.
Yeah, no, I know. People are suffering. You know, my concern, Susan, on a much larger scale is that people aren't going to go back. They're falling out of the habit of going on Sunday. I try to be a daily communicant. And you know what? When COVID hit, that was scrubbed. Now it is back. So there are churches that are offering. I would encourage people to go. You know, the Holy Mass, I think we underestimate the power of it. And, you know, John, I think it was Pope Benedict the 15th. He said that he also spoke about the Holy Mass, and he talked about how it would be of greater profit if people had it offered in their lifetime rather than having it celebrated for the relief of their souls after their death. You know,
exactly.
Like some people in their will say, oh, you know, have these masses said. I think that's important. But he said the fruit of the sacrifice of the Mass are an effect of much greater efficacy during your life than after one's death because of the application in which it's made, you know, and the way it's going to be
correct.
Disposed. And I think of these men who struggle with pornography. I think of these people who are unfaithful to their spouses. I think of the person that is struggling with, you know, larceny or theft in their business or, you know, all the different things, the lack of virtue. If you have an area of life where there's excess, maybe you're drawn to some sort of proclivity or compulsion, the Mass will liberate you from it. I'm absolutely, confession and the Mass, those two things are our greatest weapons.
Oh, you hit on a big one for me that, you know, Drew, that was absolutely key in the last book that we did that we talked about that just came out in March, Jesus Speaks to Faustina. One of the biggest things, there were two huge things that popped out. That chaplet is right, and you hit it somewhere on one of your shows, I heard you, is powerful alongside the rosary. Yeah. But but confession, I can't tell you how much he stressed to go to confession, to go to confession, to go to confession. And then, you know, so that's what you got to do. Again, we're the priests. We can't get to confession. I have to find a priest to have confession because of the hours. So it's really important, you know, to open your hearts to our Lord and make a good, honest confession, because it's not just getting your sins absolved. We also receive an infusion of grace that forgives our sin. It also strengthens our spiritual weaknesses in terms of our behaviors. It also increases our bond with our friendship with our Lord. It increases the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. God acts in your soul like a surgeon acts in a patient, and I don't think people are aware of that. And again, in my diary, she talks about, you know, there's three words that is determined to strive for sanctity to derive fruit. And in terms of confession, one, make it complete, sincere, and open. Second word, humility. Third, obedience. So I agree. Go to confession.
All right, my guest, Susan Tassone. Susan, I have a few minutes. I'm going to grab a call or two, but just one other note on this. You know, St. Faustina, she says that when we receive the Eucharist, we are literally, those times of union are a taste of eternity, I think is the way she put it.
Yes, and, banquet,
And she was personally, she's a great saint, but she was strengthened and supported in her own daily struggles of life by relying on the Eucharist. And the Lord told her, he says, look, in the host is the power. It will defend you always. It's from Diary Entry 616. And, you know, Eucharistic love is infinitely powerful to defend you from, you know, from all that's harmful to your salvation. And that's what life's about. You know, we might have other trials and travails, but ultimately we live forever. We were created to live for all eternity. And the Eucharist is really that spiritual shield. It will help defend you from what is harmful to your salvation. Get to Mass if you're not going. Have Masses offered for you and for your loved ones. You will be glad you did. Teresa in California, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, which is more advantageous for our children, to have a Mass said or for the parents of that child to pray and offer their Masses and Holy Communions for them?
Well, why does it have to be either or, in my opinion? I mean, do both. I would, if I had to say, it would have to be the Mass. There's nothing more powerful than the celebration of the Mass, you know, reliving Calvary, being there on Calvary with Christ again and bringing our children to that. But I think you can offer your Masses as well. I think they're equally as powerful and equally as important. I would certainly do both. Have Masses said, and then offer your Eucharist for your children. But Susan, I'm going to let you respond. We have about a minute left.
I've talked to priests about that. Of course, it's having the Mass offered, because that Mass is specifically for that soul, and that Mass gets all the graces from the Mass. You can offer your Mass and your communion, you know, which I do, but you can't, you know, having the Mass itself for that particular person, that intention is my first choice. Like today, Drew, before we talked, I have a uncle, niece, cousin called, said her father's dying, and I have a priest friend that's retired that I'm sending him Mass stipends because our Mass intentions books are closed.
That's
and I
awesome.
Said to him, Father, you know, he's dying. If you don't get this in time, which is better, you know, having a Mass offered now? He said, now. Do it now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's nothing more powerful in the face of the planet, in the universe, than the celebration of the Mass, of the Eucharist, of our Lord truly present. But also offer those prayers for your children. I'm telling you, God hears the prayers of a parent.